Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Want to get an edge on who you should take in the games? Listen to what Joe and Dave, the Bankroll Boys, have to say. The Over-Under 98.5 podcast is available at 98.5thesportshub.com and the Sports Hub app.
Boston's home for sports. Tucker and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Will Brinson is a senior NFL writer for CBSSports.com. He joins us when he decides to answer the phone on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. And we can get a national reaction from a national reporter about the continued, almost compulsive cheating by the New England Patriots. Mr. Will Brinson, hello.
Hello. Sorry about last week. We had a car incident, and I left my phone on the counter while sprinting out to save my wife, and then looked like a degenerate for not answering the phone. I apologize.
Someone trying to blow up your car or something?
Yeah. No, actually, there was
gambling debts.
There was a creep in a hoodie filming my wife from the corner.
Okay. Well, that seems to. Were you in Cincinnati?
Cincinnati.
Or
she, okay. She was in Cincinnati, yes. I had to fly to Cincinnati that morning. Look, Spygate 2, it's real. It's happening. Brace yourselves for an off-season and postseason of content. I actually suggested on my podcast, the Daily NFL Podcast, the Pick 6 Podcast, check it out on Apple Podcasts, that maybe the NFL doesn't mind this. Like, I know the NFL is all about integrity of the game and all of that, but like, this seems... like, it's going to end up being a fairly obvious slap on the wrist situation, a very worst to find. And that, look, if this were the Ravens that the filming was happening at, if this was happening in Baltimore, if I were John Harbaugh, I'd be checking the credentialed media manifesto from my Sunday night game and the week before in Baltimore. But it's the Bengals, right? Bill Belichick's not sending, he's not orchestrating this vast conspiracy to put together a 7-part series that then finally unleashes the ability to record other teams by going and getting the Bengals. Okay. Like why did they do it? Well, I mean, I think about it like this. And look, if this were another team, like if this were the Browns, we'd be treating it like that time John Elway screwed up the fax machine. Be like, these dummies, you know, like, but because it's the Patriots, that's why you start thinking of it in conspiratorial terms. Not like I have done a crazy amount of TV work, but I've done, you know, enough on location shoots to know that, you know, when you contract out for these things, very often, like, the people who show up to do the filming are just, like, over-eager. They're coming in. They're trying to film everything, get a bunch of B-roll. And, it is an advanced scout. Like, the scout is trying to look – you know, the scout is scouting the other team. So I guess I understand why you would film the coaches. But, yeah, it's a terrible
You're not
look.
Making it any better, right? I mean, it's like all this stuff that adds up. And the other thing, too, is that, I mean, there's a bunch of people saying, well, look, anyone can go and just film the sidelines. You know, why do they need them to do it? And my whole point is, then why is it still illegal if you can't get an advantage by filming the sidelines?
Yeah. Well, that's a great question. I think it's just illegal to you can create your own. They want to have a level playing field. They don't want somebody else to be able to have, because you could zoom in on Zach Taylor, right? And you could watch what he's doing and you could pick up on nuances and stuff like that. I don't know, did you see the have you seen the Urban Meyer clip that's running around?
No, I have not.
OK, so there's an Urban Meyer clip where he's sitting down with the Big Ten Network and he's like, He's like, listen, this is something that a lot of coaches don't do, but I always do this. He's like, I find out how involved other coaches are with special teams. And if they're not involved with special teams throughout the most of the season, I always watch. He's like, I always watch to see where they are. Because if they're not involved with special teams and they run down and get like down and like, you know, get hunched down and get like in a power stance or whatever, when there's a punt going on, he's like, I have a signal from the sidelines because I know it's probably going to be a fake punt or there's some shenanigans up to him. And then whoever put the clip on the internet spliced it where it's like the Super Bowl. It's like Belichick's like, where's McVay? Where's McVay? I can't find McVay.
And he did the same thing against Seattle, too, is that he had someone to spot Carroll.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, in that, like, the whole point of the NFL, the whole point of all these rules and regulations of the NFL is that it's a level playing field that everyone has the same advantage. And if you were able to send a camera crew to your opponent that you've got a week before and film their entire coaching staff zoomed in, not on the all 22, right, but zoomed in, it would probably, if you were a smart coach, you would be able to get an advantage from it. Now, I don't think Bill Belichick and the Patriots are orchestrating a vast conspiracy here. I think it is a total accident, and I think it is probably being blown up because it's the Patriots. But it's a bad look to send this camera crew to a Bengals-Browns game for an advanced scout, and then you don't tell the Bengals or you don't tell the league. Like, it's a very simple John Breach had a great analogy. If you're on probation and you're going to, like, a wedding in Mexico, you tell your probation officer, right? Like, you know. I mean, you know, you don't just go and do it. Like, you, if you're the Patriots and you have actually been in a situation like this before where you have been caught videotaping other teams, you definitely tell the other team if you need to videotape them. Like, yeah. even if it's a guest. And, you know, they were credentialed, so it's just sort of above board and all that. But, yeah, I mean, there's enough history here where people get up in arms about it.
All right, so let's say that everything, you know, that the league completely believes that this was a situation where, you know, Bill Belichick had nothing to do with it. This, they don't think it was for competitive advantage, yet they did have a credentialed Patriots employee go in with a video camera, and they've admitted to filming the sidelines. They've broken the rules. What kind of punishment do you think, on a best-case scenario, would that bring? Because once again, the Patriots don't get the benefit of the doubt anymore. We've learned that.
Right. That's, yeah. Do you mean best case for the NFL or best case for the Patriots?
Best case for the Patriots.
If you hated the Patriots, what's the best thing that could happen?
Like third round pick taken away? I don't know.
I mean, you could take away your first round pick. It's not going to do any good for them. They can't draft.
N'Keal Harry's almost as good as Deebo Samuel and A.J. Brown and all the other wide receivers.
Right. And Sony Michel is as good as everyone that was taken after him.
He's just as good as Nick Chubb. It's fine. I like N'Keal Harry and Sony Michel a lot. They'll be fine. Don't worry about it.
You don't like Sony Michel?
I do like him. I'm just being sarcastic. Sony Michel's a stud.
Where is this happening?
He's not a stud right now. He's a very good player. The offensive line is problematic. We see in the last few weeks, he started to run kind of well.
Yeah. Last week, Sunday, he was great.
Well, the two weeks before.
150 rushing yards this weekend against Cincinnati. Although it could be a Rex Burkhead revenge game.
If Rex Burkhead is getting more carries than your former number one pick, that is a situation.
I mean, Sony Michel is like part of the big reason why they won the Super Bowl last year.
He is. I know, but he's
that's
not.
Undeniable.
But that's not why you spend a number one pick on someone. You spend a number one pick.
Well, to win a Super Bowl, that is what.
Oh, Jesus. You got to get more than a playoff run out of the guy.
I mean, if you win a Super Bowl, is it worth it?
Yeah, that's right.
It's kind of the Dice K theory, you know?
Dice K. Yeah.
You know, you spent the money, you got the world championship.
He's a hired gun.
You people in New England, man, you're like, this is unbelievable. This running back is not throwing up 10,000 yards a year. And
He's not good.
He's not good this year.
He's not good in short yardage.
He can't catch the ball.
I rarely see him make anyone miss.
He's not Nick Chubb.
No, he's not Nick Chubb. He's not anyone that they took after.
I mean, he's no Christian McCaffrey, you know. That's what they thought he'd be.
He's not Chris. All right, anyway, look.
Yeah.
The worst case scenario for the Patriots, I would think, is like a third. I don't know how that got out of hand. Third round pick. Best case for the Patriots.
Like the running back they took in the third round.
The league is going to take Sony Michel away from the Patriots.
No, they took a running back in the third round in this last draft. And yep. A healthy scratch.
Damian Harris, who was better than Jacobs of Alabama, doesn't even play.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're redshirting a running back. You guys are ridiculous.
They're redshirting a running back?
Maybe Damian Harris will come in and run for 100 yards a game in the playoffs.
Maybe. Right. Maybe he'll help them win a Super Bowl. Then the pick will be worth it.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. I feel like Sony Michel is already justified by the Super Bowl.
I actually agree with that. You don't spend
I'm not
the first
sit here and say
round pick
good.
On a guy that has a good playoff run. I mean, I could pick up.
If it helps you win a Super Bowl, you do.
I could pick up Wayne Krabet and he comes in or Demaryius Thomas and he comes in and has a couple good playoff games. I mean, when you take a number one pick, you want the guy to succeed over a long term. But that's neither here nor there.
I think Bill Belichick would absolutely trade a late round first pick for 336 yards and 6 touchdowns in a playoff run that wins you a Super Bowl. I think most people would. Mm. Anyway, worst case scenario, the Patriots are going to lose like some kind of reasonable draft pick. Best case scenario, the Patriots are going to get a sternly worded letter from the league. And there'll be some like ubiquitous fine or something like that, where they just, you know, like, we understand that, you know, best case is actually they're like, we found their wrongdoing in our investigation.
Well, that would be awesome, because then that just means that my impression of what the league thinks of the Patriots and second chances is completely wrong, because I just kind of figured after, you know, the whole Deflategate situation, there was no mercy on Robert Kraft, even though him and Roger Goodell are best buddies. We obviously saw what happened with Tom Brady. I just think that this is the team that's completely lost any kind of shot of having the benefit of the doubt. And if what you're saying is true, that's great news. Like, that's great news for the Patriots.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I'm saying that's best case. I don't think that's likely, because look, it's like I'm not comparing the Myles Garrett thing, but the league, the NFL is willing to take a layup on certain stuff for whatever reason. It just won't do it for off-field domestic violence for whatever reason. Right. But the league will take a layup when it comes to like Myles Garrett swings the helmet. They're like, oh yeah, suspended the rest of the season. Easy, no brainer. He comes in for the appeal. They're like, that's cute, Myles. Get out of here. You're suspended. The same thing with the Patriots. Like, they will probably say, look, you know, we didn't really find any wrongdoing, but we're gonna annoy you with a fine here. So that'd be $250,000. Thanks. Put it in the pocket. You know, we'll use it to pay. We will use it not to pay for an extra official or a sky judge that could have fixed the game in Kansas City.
All right. So I want to read you this real quick, because Matt Chatham, who I like very much, he's been tweeting this morning about how ridiculous it is for people to say that you can learn anything from taping the sidelines. He tweeted, "I'm waking and reading nonsense about taping the NFL sideline. If you cover this game for a living, you're the go-between for fans who either educate or misinform. If you aren't educated yourself on the basic facts of what's plainly visible on NFL sideline, blah, blah, blah." So I tweeted him, because I like Matt, and I said, hey, I'm just curious then as to why is it still illegal for teams to tape other teams on their sidelines? And Matt Chatham responded. He said, for the same reason liquor stores in Indiana can't sell refrigerated water or soda, only liquor. A lot of rules are stupid and outdated, and nobody bothered to fix them.
That's fair.
Indiana's got weird rules.
You can only buy liquor.
That's why Ursay drives around with all those pills. He's like Santa Claus.
Yeah, Ursay got sideswiped, ironically.
Yeah. All right.
Look. Okay.
Come on now.
I mean, look, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, like, the NFL is archaic with a bunch of stuff.
All right.
I mean, they measure down a distance with three or four geriatric old men holding a giant chain.
True.
Like, it shouldn't be surprising that some of the rules are outdated.
Yeah, and they just have like an old guy throw a sandbag to mark where they think guys went down.
Maybe this is all a vast conspiracy by Bill Belichick to distract you guys from talking about the fact that the team couldn't.
Or the officials. I think, Will, call me crazy, but that was one of the worst officiated games I've ever seen in my life. And all of a sudden, that's all blown under the rug now because of this stupid Spygate crap.
Joe, you're right. I mean, like, I made a reference to it a second ago, and you guys didn't even flinch. No one even wants to talk about the officials. Jerome Boger should be shot into the sun, man. That was unbelievable.
Well, I don't go about wanting to kill the guy. I mean, if you want to go that far, I mean,
you can rock it with a return ticket.
If you go, no, you can't. Well, it's the sun's too hot. You can't get that close to it.
Well,
maybe watch what you say.
Okay, I don't want Jerome Boger killed, okay?
Like, all right, thank you so much. Will Brinson, thank you so much. You can hear him on the podcast over there, and you can read him at CBSSports.com. We appreciate the time.
Have a great day.
All right, see you, man. You guys do the same. Get a little punch drunk over this story.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, getting a little punch drunk over it. I just love how they cheat. It's just so funny. They just love cheating. They just can't get enough.
I mean, it's one of those things where, I mean, if you sent this guy there and didn't tell him not to videotape the sidelines, how incompetent of an organization are you? After all the stuff that you've got, that you got him a credential.
I just like that Ernie
Adams. The Patriots
got
him a credential, and you know this team's history, and you didn't tell him not to do the one thing that you can't do, and that is film the sidelines of the field. So even at his most innocent, the Patriots were wildly incompetent.
And according
to
reports, it was like a quarter, right?
It was an entire quarter.
Yeah, like that's not... Like if he's doing a piece on a guy, why are you filming the sidelines for an entire quarter? It doesn't make any sense.
No. And then people are saying, well, it was an independent contractor. Well, there were independent contractors with the Patriots employees. It's worded in a way that says they wanted to throw it in there that, oh, some of the people were independent contractors. But there were official Patriots employees that were part of all of this.
Oh, of course. Yes. I mean, it's Kraft Productions. All right. We'll be right back.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich. 98.5. Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. The AV Club, Rich, has come out with the 20 worst movies of the year.
Of this year?
Of this year.
Oh, boy. How many of them are, like, big movies that
there
we would know?
There is one that's huge. There's one that I saw in the theater.
There's one that I know many people think was the worst, and I wonder if it was this year or the end of last year. But there was a film called, I think it's Serenity, which stars Matthew McConaughey.
Yes,
and,
that is on here.
And what's the name of the actress? She was in the Les Miserables movie. She was
yes,
the Princess Diaries. I forget what her name is.
Serenity. Yes,
yeah, because
that is number 12.
It is a movie with what they say is the worst twist in any movie, like one that caused groans so bad that people left the theater at the end of it. I almost don't want to spoil it for people, and I read what it was. And it really is that bad, but that has got to be
right
on the list.
There's one that's really unfair.
And as far as the worst movies?
Yes, that you and I wanted to see.
Joker?
Well, Joker's on it.
Joker's for the worst movies?
It's number 20, and I cannot wait to see the Joker because I'm going to laugh my ass off the entire movie. Anytime someone throws himself into the role of like a crazy man, it's going to make me laugh my ass. Like every time
see,
I see
Jared Leto, yes. I trust Joaquin Phoenix.
I think he's a great actor.
I liked it.
I trust Joaquin Phoenix.
I didn't say I'm not going to like it. I'm going to think it's really funny.
Because I know what you're saying, like the ham. Ooh, how creepy. I'm a Joker, a clown. But
when he dances on the stairs, like that's like so funny to me.
But you haven't seen it in context.
No,
that's
he like
the thing.
Contorts his body.
You have not seen it in context. I'm going to give it a chance.
Was it going to scare me?
No, it's just maybe you'll understand. Maybe he'll get, like, his contortions.
And then he laughs, like, inappropriately. Like, that's going to be funny as hell.
See, once again, Joe, you've seen it.
I've seen it.
All right.
I liked it.
Did you think it was funny?
At times I laughed, yeah. They used the name Murray a lot, so I thought it was kind of funny.
Now, did you laugh sometimes when the filmmaker would
Yeah,
not
when
intend-
he was weird, I laughed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, because that will make me laugh.
When things were uncomfortable, I laughed, too.
Well, I think it's really supposed to be that way, right?
Yeah. There was some uncomfortable moments in that movie.
Yeah, I think it's up for Best Picture for the Golden Globes.
Yeah, I mean, it was a massive success, and I wanted to see it from the beginning. It's one of the few films that I wanted to see, but I was waiting for it to come out. You probably could get now at home. But,
not yet. It's not yet.
But anytime that like an actor goes all in on something like that, I always find it hysterical.
Like a Christian Bale, one of those, something like that.
No, you're talking about the dude with the teeth from Bohemian Rhapsody.
Well, no, that Bohemian Rhapsody was fine. No, like when someone plays a maniac and they like, you know, lose a lot of weight and like, you know, like jingle about.
Were you like a Val Kilmer fan when he did like Jim Morrison? Did you like that?
That movie is awful. Oliver Stone's a lot of bad movies.
That's true. He's made it. He's made. Let's see. Platoon was good.
Platoon was good.
He wrote Conan, so I'm cool with that.
Like, I can't sit through JFK. There's no way.
No, JFK was a tough watch. That was a tough. Oh, and by the way, Any Given Sunday is the one of the most overdirected movies of time. Like, just way over the top, overdirected.
I couldn't get through that.
There's parts of it that are great. Like, Willie Beeman, I thought that Jamie Foxx was awesome in that movie. But, man.
But, like, LL Cool J being produced too much.
Oh,
too
my. And, like, they tried to make it, like, an MTV video and spinning and stuff. You didn't need any of that.
See, I thought Natural Born Killers was funny for all the wrong reasons.
Overdirected. Another overdirected.
Like, I just thought that was funny because they're like, oh, I'm a totally psycho.
All right, so there's other big movies on there that we would know.
I got one that I heard sucked.
Okay.
The Lion King.
Yes, and I saw that in the theater, and maybe because it's a kid's movie, like, it didn't bother me.
Dude, I didn't mind it either.
The new one?
Yeah,
that's number four.
And people thought because, like, they couldn't recreate, like, the dead eyes. It was like Dead Eyes when it's animals. You know what I mean? It's not where you have the expressions and the laughing animals and stuff. It worked better in cartoons. I thought it was fine. I had no problem with it.
Yeah,
no,
I mean, I wasn't really paying attention, but I... you got to know what number one is, just because it's just, even a still from it, it's hysterical.
Okay.
It's not supposed to be funny.
Oh, it's not supposed to be funny?
No, but it...
So it's not like a Kevin James movie or something like that?
No, well, obviously Kevin Smith's crappy movie is on here. I mean, that was wildly panned, the Jane, Silent Bob reboot.
See, that just kind of came and went. I didn't even realize it was out.
Yeah, well, a lot of his stuff is. He's just...
All right, go down the list from top 10, from 10 down.
Okay, the number one stars the same person that was number one last year.
Oh, so someone known for making bad movies? I can't even remember what was last year.
Well, think about what was the worst movie last year. I mean, it was like an all-timer. Joe, anything? It was like an all-time bad movie.
I'm having a brain fart.
And it was Gaudy. And then this year,
okay. Oh. So this year
it's The Fanatic.
Oh, The Fanatic, directed by Fred Durst and starring John Travolta.
Every time I see a picture of Travolta in that, it's so, I don't know how you could get over what he looks like.
They made this movie already. It's called The Fan. It was the one with Wesley Snipes and Robert De Niro.
Which wasn't that great a movie either.
It was fine.
Something called Replicas is number two that had Keanu Reeves.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The Haunting of Sharon Tate.
I didn't see that.
Lion King, which I didn't think was bad. The Upside, which you could not pay me to go look at.
The Upside is the one with... Is that the one with the guy from Breaking Bad?
Yeah, and Kevin Hart.
I heard that's supposed to be pretty good. It's based on a really good movie called... it's like a French movie, but it's really good.
Yeah, but it's like one of those movies that is... You know, it's totally schmaltzy. Goldfinch, which was supposed to be terrible.
What about Rocketman?
The Intouchables. That's the one that...
Rocketman was good.
No, I heard it was... I saw it on a couple of lists.
That it was one of the worst movies of the year?
Yeah.
I hate musicals, and I didn't mind that.
I haven't seen
it. My family watched it. We loved the cocaine and gay sex. Jacob's Ladder.
Jacob's Ladder? They remade that?
Apparently.
See, the original was awesome.
Rambo Last Blood.
Ah, you see, like, that
you
just
can't put
came
that
out
on a list.
That is on my list of movies to watch. I heard it's so gratuitously violent at the end of it.
You can't put that on a list.
No.
Like, what were you expecting?
You know what you're getting when you see Rambo Last Blood.
Like,
and that is lots of explosions.
Yeah, you really can't put that on the list. Like, what do you think was going to be good? Something called Anna. Primal with Nicolas Cage.
Okay, Primal, the concept rules, and it's got Nicolas Cage, which means there's no way it's bad. So the whole concept is that he's like a big game hunter, and he's going to sell all of these like wild animals that he's gotten from wherever, the jungle. And he's on a boat that's filled with a bunch of lions, tigers, anacondas and stuff, and he's shipping them to go sell them all. However... there is a bad man that has to be exported from one place to the next and has to be on this boat, and he's in, like, handcuffs, and he gets loose. But before he gets loose, he ends up letting loose all of the wild animals. So instead of snakes on a plane, it's wild animals that want to kill you on a boat. And Nicolas Cage. I'm in. I'll watch that one.
All right, something called Arctic's Dogs that was nominated.
It's a cartoon.
It's a cartoon that Jeremy Renner was in, so it's got a rule. Serenity, as you said, Jane, Silent Bob reboot. I hate Kevin James. I hate him personally.
Well, there's reasons behind that.
I hate him personally.
He wanted to get you fired.
He said that he was going to do my morning show in Atlanta just so I would be fired.
something called Countdown, something called No Safe Spaces, which is an Adam Carolla panel, Playing with Fire, which starred John Cena.
Oh, that just came out. Like, I don't even know what that movie's about. I just see him dressed like a fireman. And it's like, playing with fire.
Is Hobbs and Shaw in that?
What are you talking about?
I heard it wasn't good.
See, I actually watched the first 30 minutes of it, and I fell asleep. But, I mean, it was good. But you know what you're getting when you see Hobbs and Shaw.
Something called The Kitchen that has...
The Kitchen with Elizabeth Moss. Yeah. I heard that was supposed to be good. These are all the worst movies?
Tyler Perry's A Madea Family Funeral, which, again, you can't put on that list.
He super serves an audience.
Yes, and they like the movies. I don't know why you can't like that. After, which is some movie, and then The Joker. Or Joker, I
think. Joker.
Is Nick, are you offended over their operating Twitch that Joker's on there? I can't wait to see it. Oh, I can't wait to see it.
I'm contorting my body. I've got it very thin for the role.
Have you seen Suicide Squad yet with Jared Leto as a Joker?
No.
If you really want to laugh, like really want to laugh, you have to see his performance in that. Because remember, he was such a method actor, he would send his co-host.
Didn't they cut him out of it?
Oh, yeah. He's like hardly in it because he was so awful. He would send all of his actors that he was working with dead animals.
In excrement.
And used condoms. Oh, how evil.
It was not a Me Too situation.
And at the end, he just ended up sucking. Oh, he was awful. And you know, he was pissed that he was not cast in this Joker movie.
Yeah.
He actually had the guts to come out and say, you know what, I should have been in the Joker.
Yeah. Like every time he laughs for no reason, it's going to be really funny. I really want to see the Joker.
Hey, you support our friend. What's his name?
Gary Goldman. Yeah. Gary Goldman, he's going to kick off the laughs. I heard he's like in the first scene.
He is?
Yep.
So Goldman will kick off a laugh riot.
Gary Goldman is in the number one highest grossing R-rated movie of all time worldwide. That's insane.
Which is going to be a wonderful comedy.
And they're doing a sequel.
Ooh, even creepier.
That's what it's called. Joker 2, even creepier.
I'm on the train laughing. Ha-ha!
I'm bonier this time.
I've lost a tremendous amount of weight. Creepy.
It's the entire title.
Joker! Yeah!
I've lost an entire amount of too much weight. Creepy.
Wow, look at my hijinks. I'm mentally ill.
All right, Rich. Let's talk a little bit about Pete Frates, who was someone who appeared on our show and who we liked very much. We'll talk about that and some other stuff as well. We'll be back. Here are the headlines.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich, weekday morning, 6 to 10.
That was horribly uncomfortable.
Toucher and Rich, mornings.
It was all taken out of context.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
What's up, 98.5 The Sports Hub pukes? This is the Frates Brothers. You can try to silence Pete, but Andrew's got a big mouth. Let's get to it. Woo! Welcome to Foxborough, where the play is play, and Zolak rides the bench like every day. Club seats, hat sheets, see the crafts rolling. Zolak won't sleep until he's done trolling. The party don't start till Zolak leaves. He keeps begging coach to play like pretty, pretty please. You couldn't hack it down in Miami, so you come back north to suck up to Poppy.
Oh, yeah.
Career backup who likes to party. Woo! But he can't get a call back from his boy, Freddie T.
Oh.
Bledsoe, too busy. Now go hang with your girl, Josie.
Shut up, Wallach.
Freddie T, you ain't off the hook.
Nah.
Sit back and read a book. Books have words, which lead to verbs you can use on the show, you mumbling turd. Uh-oh, what's this?
So wears his sunglasses indoors. Why is that? Why is that?
So no one can see his messed up eye. Unicorn, show ponies, backups. P wanted me to give a message. Zoe, you're deader than my brother was 2 weeks ago.
Oh!
Frates Brothers, out.
First of all, I just want to express my most sincere sympathy to the whole Frates family. Obviously, you know, what Pete and the rest of his family have done for raising awareness for ALS has been so inspirational for all of us. So we're going to miss him dearly, and thoughts and prayers to the whole family.
He inspired us all with everything he did. Even he was going through a lot, but he still raised awareness and a lot of money for that terrible disease. And you know, our thoughts are with his family.
Pete was an unbelievable person. Obviously, he's done a lot, and he's a true hero. And it's a tough loss, but he's made a lot of lives better. So start off with that. Thank you.
Somehow I think Pete would dig that Wild Side was playing after that.
It's probably the perfect music.
No, I think that he would actually think that it was cool. Like,
that's the one thing about Pete. I mean, the guy always, you know.
Yeah, we were fortunate to get to know Pete Frates, and his brother Andrew was in here a few weeks ago, and it was very fortunate to get to hang out with him and, spend time with him. Casually, not, you know, always at some big event or something, but we were able to spend time with him casually. And he certainly, you'll hear a lot of people saying how inspirational he was, and that's certainly true, and how all the work he did for ALS, and how they were able to get so much research done and make so many strides in that. But beyond all that, he knew us, but we didn't know him before ALS. But more than anything, I mean, you heard it from the 98 Mile rap, is that Pete was a very funny guy.
And ball buster.
And a very cool guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're going to hear a lot of tributes, and rightly so, about him. But I just want to get it out there that he was a pleasure to spend time with.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's and I will tell you this, is that you should, I would imagine, do what the family would want and what Pete would want. And you can donate to the Peter Frates Family Foundation at 21 Landers Drive in Beverly, Mass., 01915. Or you can simply go online to peterfrates.com/donate. And that is a good thing that you could do in memory of Peter. And you know, I'm sure he had very tough times, but he also, you know, he liked being around people. He liked pints with Pete. He liked to bust balls. He was a really good guy.
Yeah. On top of that, you know, we were discussing this morning. You know, we've been speaking all morning about Pete, and one thing that he's left behind is not only the almost $250 million raised towards ALS research, but Pete's mom, Nancy, who obviously our thoughts are towards her and the rest of the family this morning, she heard us and reached out. And I was talking about how all that money raised has advanced research in ALS like astronomically more than it had up to that point. Like, Pete is directly responsible for research that may end up curing ALS. And she actually put it in perspective for me. Nancy Frates, Pete's mom, reached out and said they discovered one gene before the ice bucket challenge. One gene they were able to isolate. Since the ice bucket challenge, there's been five since, and 100+ drugs are now in the ALS pipeline because of the money that was raised from that phenomenon. Everyone did it. As a matter of fact, I spent a little bit yesterday, I was telling my kids, you know, about that. I was speaking to my wife. I told my wife that he had passed away. And, you know, when I was trying to explain to them who Pete was and what he did, I was like, yeah, even like all of the Avengers did the ice bucket challenge. Like, no way. And I'm showing them videos, and like everybody for that year.
Oprah.
Crazy. Oprah did it. You had Lady Gaga. I remember there was a really weird one.
Don't you dare put those two in the same sentence. There's Oprah, Stedman.
Stedman knows Tom. Tom knows Oprah. I wonder if Jim Gray did one. Probably not. That soulless prick.
Edelman did one, challenging Brady and Gronk.
Edelman did a very famous one.
Yep, he did. So, I mean,
My children were fortunate enough to meet him, and which could have been an uncomfortable situation. He made very comfortable being able to communicate with them, and I thought that was great. And that was through BC Baseball. And I know that BC Baseball doesn't want to speak for the family, and they, you know, don't want to focus on his accomplishments on the field. But I will say this, is that Coach Gambino and the Boston College baseball program were great, and they very much appreciated everything that Pete was doing to help the future of ALS research.
And,
so,
and don't let it stop here. Like, continue to donate to ALS. I mean, do this in I also think that, and this has been something I've been rallying for a while, you got to do something. You got to name a street after him or something here. I mean, when they're renaming the one Yawkey Way, I always thought Pete Frady's Way would have been a good one. You got to do something to honor the guy.
Pete Frady's, they named the baseball park after him at Boston College. If you guys would ever get off your asses and go down.
I haven't been to the new park yet. I haven't been to the new one. Last time I went, I was hanging out in the parking deck and overlooking the old school.
I was getting hit with beers.
That's
right. Kids were thrown off the parking
deck. I do need to see the new facility. I haven't been out there yet.
Yeah, so he was a great guy, and he will obviously be missed. All right. What else you got?
You know what? How about we take a break? Because it feels weird going right into the story I want to do.
Pete would not mind switching gears.
I'm saying that because I'm not ready, Fred.
Okay. Fair enough. If you are not ready, then we can do it.
Yes.
Because I don't want to sit here and pretend that, Pete would have wanted
that. That was actually a cheap way for me to get
okay. To go to that I can relate to.
Okay.
But I don't want
to. And I'm interested to hear what Zoe has to say about the whole cheating scandal.
Oh, you know what? I'm going to guess he doesn't think they cheated. Mm-hmm. I'm going to throw that. I'm going to throw that out there.
We could bet on it.
Do you want to bet? Okay, I'll give you 1,000-to-1 odds. All right, we'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Five to Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. One of the funnier calls that I heard today is that Bird got a call saying why we were always so negative after we talked about the 20 worst movies of 2009.
Well, let's do the 20 best ones.
Yeah, because they're the 20 best movies. Yes.
Did Mandy come out this year with Nicolas Cage on the Nicolas Cage movie?
I don't know. It's not
that list. Would be the best one, then. That would be the best, in my opinion, at least. By the way, excuse me, Walmart had been selling this Christmas sweater, not realizing what it actually was or what it meant. It had a snowman on it, and it said, "Let it snow." And in front of it, there was a table with lines of cocaine.
Hell yeah! Woo! Booger sugar!
Which is something that I would have liked to have picked up. Which would have been nice.
Just go to people, be like, I love doing cocaine, come on.
So the Golden Globe nominees came out. Speaking of movies there, Hardy, I know you're a big fan of the old.
I like a movie.
You like a movie or two? I got a good one for you. Joker.
By the way, did you hear the Troop reference from Zoe on the on the call the other day?
Yes, I did.
Oh yeah,
you guys get on his back, boys.
Yeah, you guys used to have like a guy on every year, right? Who did the movies with you guys every year?
Oh. Yeah, Jeffrey Lyons.
There you go.
Yeah. I used to follow.
At the movies? Is that him?
He wrote a bunch of books on movies and sports, and yeah, he used to come on with us a couple times a year. But all right, so
they can see who you follow on Twitter.
Okay, so this is the these are the Golden Globe nominees.
The Golden,
right?
Yes, they have. There's two categories though. There's drama and there's comedy or musical.
There's the glitz and glamour.
Fred, when am I going to get you the screening of Cats? That's, I think, next week.
I like everything about that.
It's got James Corden in it as a cat.
I know.
Sounds like your dream film.
He's fat, but he owns it.
He does. He does own it. All right, Best Motion Picture Drama. Here are your nominees. 1917. Now, that movie I can't wait to see. It's a war movie that
sounds
was
like
done
stinker.
In one take. It's a,
no, it's
a,
not one take.
Well, I believe it is.
No, well, they make it look like one shot, but of course they don't do it in one take.
Well, that's what they're bragging about. They're bragging about that's one of those continuous camera movement movies, kind of like... No.
That sounds like horse
feathers.
What
the, listen, watch the making of it.
Okay.
And maybe it might be like four really long takes. Maybe that might be
I'm
the
sure
case.
They had some very long shots, but they don't shoot the entire film. And
they're
just
like Papa John.
And and cut. That's a wrap.
I saw a weird-ass experimental movie where they did that, and the screen was cut in fours, and the cameras, like, it was followed four different people throughout the movie, and they would go near each other and
like
stuff.
The Brady Bunch.
The first Incredible Hulk.
They
did that. They made it look like a comic book page. It was terrible.
Other movie for Best Motion Picture Drama, The Irishman. Which I have not seen, and I can't really get the energy mustered up to see that. I want to see it, but like I'll put it on at 10 o'clock at night, and I'll just be like too tired to watch the whole thing.
I have a feeling it's violent.
I like that. It's just they're old.
Yeah. Well, I don't care. Joker, that's up there, Fred.
Oh, I'm mentally ill.
You said that you watched a couple of minutes of the Suicide Squad.
It was so bad I had to stop.
You haven't seen the Joker, Fred. I don't even have to ask.
No, but I want to.
I haven't seen it yet either.
Okay. Neither have I.
Joe has. I want to see it. I do want to see it, though.
Joker?
I've seen it. I liked it.
Right. I'm going to laugh my ass. I want to see it, so I'm going to laugh my ass off during the entire thing.
All right, Marriage Story and The Two Popes for Best Motion Picture Drama. Best Motion Picture Musical or Comedy, Dolomite Is My Name, which I have not seen yet either.
Apparently,
I can't wait to see.
Wesley Snipes' Oscar buzz.
Okay, that's what I've heard.
Okay.
I've heard that.
Let me tell you something, right? For somebody who is like really into movies, you haven't seen...
This year's been rough.
A lot of movies.
This has been a rough year for me.
And you have no excuse for Dolomite, which is on Netflix.
I know.
And I watched that on my own, and it's, I tell you what I put in the same category as.
What's that?
In terms of an Eddie Murphy comedy, Bowfinger. Did you like
Bowfinger? I loved Bowfinger.
Then you're going to love Dolomite.
Okay, good.
It's fantastic. It's not the greatest movie ever.
But I love,
Fred, you would like it?
I love the movie Dolomite. Like, I think that movie's hysterical.
My favorite Eddie Murphy movie is Car Wash.
He was in that?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what? Boomerang. You have actually said not a bad movie before.
I love Boomerang.
I got no problem with Boomerang.
I just hate how it was the one where he was getting his comeuppance.
Well,
he had to settle for Halle Berry.
Oh, settle. How dare you? I wish he didn't have as much eyeliner on in that movie, but other than that,
but he was no so problems. Smooth. He always had nice clothes.
Other nominees, you've got Knives Out for Best Musical or Comedy. I heard that's supposed to be good. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. This is how bad I've been in with movies.
I haven't seen that one either.
I love Quentin Tarantino. And I still have not got to watch that movie. And it's out on video. I watch a ton of TV this year,
I wish
though.
There was more dialogue.
Rocket Man is another one. And
Rocket Man, I saw that.
Jojo Rabbit.
There's a rabbit on my driveway. I don't know what's going on with it, but it's just sitting there.
Just sitting there freaking him out.
The guy earlier this morning who was calling about the leaf blower.
Yeah.
That needs a Saul Rosenberg mashup. Because at one point... At one point, he actually mimics, he says a line that is a Saul Rosenberg line.
The guy who says that he wasn't getting beer at the Trader Joe's sounds like Tarbosh. Exactly.
He does.
I mean, he goes like...
The Egyptian magician.
He goes, oh!
They were laughing at me.
Okay.
And they were laughing about it.
Okay, I'm sorry that happened to you.
Oh! You know, my mother was... A very lady.
I don't know if I believe that one. I don't know if
that one's. Oh, that's definitely real. That's definitely real.
No, those are real.
Yeah, these are all real. And the reason I know
they're real, but it was that guy putting them on.
No, that's
dude,
real.
Calling 911.
But he called twice, and there were follow-ups by the police.
Yeah, you can't just call 911 and prank them. Well, I guess you could.
Yeah, because it's a bad idea.
Yeah.
I mean, they're real 911 calls. I will attest to that.
11-14, I guess, was the movie that I saw, where they have four different cameras and four different, which was just, I saw it because I used to see absolutely everything. I don't recommend you watch that film.
Okay, so I was going to take a nap yesterday. I couldn't do it because I was watching Enchirio Hall, where...
Arsenio is how you pronounce it.
No, shut up. They do the verbatim, like Nick Kroll is Van Damme and the sheer guy is Arsenio Hall. And then you find yourself watching the actual interview. Their Arsenio Hall show sucked.
Dog pound, baby.
Like Van Damme, he's
but
like...
He has a dog pound.
Like, Van Damme goes like... Yeah, and he's like, you know, the you know, the Chinese are like and she goes, she did not like the face, she did not like the body, she liked the suspenders, and because he's got suspenders on, he's very into it. All right, well, I'll leave with that. I appreciate the rest of your show. Where are they? They're over there at Gillette.
They are at Gillette.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Line ma.org.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range, state-of-the-art Top Tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and Power Tee ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off-season.